In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
From St. Paul's letter to the Romans, the 3rd chapter, "For we hold that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law." On October 31st, the eve of All Saints' Day, All Hallows, in the year 1517, a 34-year-old Augustinian monk walked up to the castle church door in Wittenberg, and he nailed to that door 95 theses, which he had written in Latin for the purpose of theological debate. Martin Luther wanted to talk. He wanted to know why the teaching of his church did not square with what he had learned from the scriptures. He wanted to know why, if the Pope had the power to spring souls from purgatory, he didn't just do so out of the goodness of his own heart. Luther wanted to know how a piece of paper, an indulgence letter, could somehow take away God's temporal punishments as though God were some kind of crooked jailer who could be bribed. Luther wanted to know what all of this had to do with Jesus, who had hung on the cross and died for the sins of the whole world. We need to be crystal clear today. Reformation Sunday. The Reformation was not about how Lutherans got it right and Catholics get it wrong. It wasn't about rebellion against authority. It wasn't about political freedom from Rome. It wasn't about starting a new or a better church. It wasn't even about recovering the old church. The Reformation was and still is about the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ has taken away the sins of the world in his death, and your sins personally, and that for his sake alone, through faith in him alone, a poor and damned and miserable sinner stands justified before God. The Reformation is about how some unknown German monk and priest stumbled across a case of 2,000-year-old, 200-proof good news long forgotten in the church basement, and he poured himself a drink, and he got so giddy over the gospel that he decided to invite everyone to his party. The Reformation is about that giddy good news of the gospel of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus is about your justification. We hold that a man is justified by faith, apart from works of the law. That passage needs to be engraved in our minds. It needs to be burned into our hearts. It's one of the most beautiful verses of the Bible. Not for its poetry, but for what it says in so few words. You, a sinner, a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter of Adam and Eve, you who are born in sin, you who can do nothing but sin, you who have no case, no defense, you are justified, you are declared righteous and holy and innocent in God's court of justice, all on account of Jesus dying and rising, and all of it received through simple drop-dead trust. Faith in Jesus, sola fide, faith alone, and not by any works of the law that you might do. Not your commandment keeping, not your family values, not your religious good works, your perfect church attendance, your tithing, not anything. By grace alone, through faith alone, for Christ's sake alone. What got Luther all riled up was indulgence letters. They still put them out today. Don't think that anything has changed. Pardons from purgatory, signed and sealed by the Holy Father, the Pope himself. The indulgence preachers used to stand out on the street corner, and they would tell the people this little rhyme, that as soon as the coin in the coffer clings, then the soul from purgatory springs. You get to bail poor old Uncle Albert out of purgatory and rescue him from the flames. He's in there for a good 10,000 years. You get to help him out. You get to buy yourself a get out of jail for not quite free card. It was, if I have to say cynically, the best fundraiser I have ever seen in church history. This beats bake sales and sauerkraut suppers hands down. They built St. Peter's Basilica on indulgence money. The coins in the coffers clinged. Indulgences were not about buying forgiveness of sins. That's a common Protestant misunderstanding that you'll hear on many a Reformation Sunday. Forgiveness of sins came from Christ through your baptism and through the absolution of the priests. They were clear on that. But the temporal punishments for sin in this life and in the afterlife in purgatory, those were covered by indulgence letters. Indulgences were a symptom of a much deeper problem, and that problem is the idea of merit. Your merits versus your sins, held in the balance on the scales by Christ the judge. Luther knew what it was like to live under that judgment, to be pressed down hard by the law, to be hemmed in by God so that no matter which way he turned, there would be sin. Luther had done everything he thought the church required him to do. The disciplines, the fasting, the penance, the prayers. He became a monk. He did all of it so rigorously that even his father, confessor, was concerned for him. There was no peace for Luther. No stilling of the storm in his conscience, no quiet, no rest. He said he hated God. He found no comfort in that picture that he grew up with as a child of Christ, sitting on a rainbow with the scales of judgment in his hand. No comfort at all in that. Christ was righteous, and he would judge righteously, and how could a sinner stand on that day? St. Paul says in the book of Romans that the law speaks in order to silence every mouth before God. Let all mortal flesh keep silence. The whole world stands accused and accountable before God, whether it knows it or not, whether it believes it or not. And there are no excuses. There is no defense. The verdict under the law is guilty. No matter how good you are, no matter how religious you are, no matter how busy with good works you might be, no one will be declared righteous in the sight of God by observing the law. Not Martin Luther, not Mother Teresa, not the Virgin Mary, not Saint Paul, nor you. No one. The law will make you conscious of your sin like a mirror. The law will amplify your sin like a magnifying glass. The law will make your sin so utterly sinful you cannot bear to even look at yourself in that mirror. But the law cannot justify a sinner. The law cannot save you. Under the law of God, you are a sinner standing before a righteous judge with nothing to say in your defense. Luther recognized that. He felt the despair that that brings. He knew what it meant to live with law and no gospel. Fortunately, Luther, the professor of the Bible, did not stop at Romans chapter 3, verse 20, but he kept reading, and we should keep reading too. But now, Paul says, but now. Reminds me of Monty Python when I used to be in college. And now for something completely different. A completely different way of righteousness before God. Not the way of the law, but the way of the gospel. Not the way of works, but the way of faith in Jesus. Paul says there's no difference among any of us. All have sinned. All fall short of the glory of God. From the tiniest of little babies to the most senior of senior citizens, all fall short of the law's demands. And all, Paul says, are justified freely by God's grace. Sola gratia, his undeserved kindness toward sinners. Through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God presented Jesus as an atoning sacrifice through faith in his blood. His blood is what cleanses you from your sin. Not the merits of the saints. Not even the merits of Christ. His blood, his innocent blood shed on the cross, the blood that washed you in your baptism, the blood that he gives you to drink in the Lord's Supper, that is what cleanses you, that you might stand before God righteous, holy, justified. Doesn't that make you want to stand up and just shout for joy? You're innocent. Imagine going to court. You know you're guilty as hell. Judge says, boom, innocent. Go, you're free man. And you look around and you're waiting for the other shoe to fall and another gavel to drop and go. Not because of what you do, but because of what Jesus has done. And does. You're free. If the Son makes you free, Jesus says, you are really and truly free. Don't you want to tell someone else about that? You're free. The judge has judged you in his Son. It almost makes you want to take a piece of paper and nail it to every church door that there is. A man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Why don't we get it? Why do 50% of Lutherans surveyed a few years ago agree with this statement that good works contribute to our salvation? Luther be spinning in his grave if he heard that. Fortunately, you're not troubled by those things in the grave. You have rest in Jesus. 57% thought that this was rock solid biblical Christianity. Why do the majority of Protestants today who read Luther, acknowledge Luther, thank God for Luther, why do they believe that we are saved by our decision to be saved? Why do people, pastors, my own colleagues, leave the Lutheran Church to join Rome or Orthodoxy? I'll tell you why. The old Adam loves religion. That's why. Luther once said the human heart is an idol factory. It works 24/7, cranking out new religions. Everything from pyramids to temples to ritual baths in the Ganges to pilgrimages and jihads, not walking under ladders or having black cats cross your path or knocking on wood for good luck or not stepping on cracks so you don't break your mother's back. It's all religion. Transactions, dealing, bargaining with God and the forces of nature. It's the old Adam who, I'm telling you, is a control freak because he wants to hold the chips. He wants to pull the strings of salvation. He wants to hold God under obligation and say, you owe me. The teaching that a sinner is justified gratis by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. It's the heart of the Christian faith. That's why Luther put it at the heart. and the center of His seal. It's the heart of the Christian faith. It sets Christianity apart from every other religion or spirituality in this world. No other religion in the world comes even close to teaching it. In fact, every other religion in the world teaches exactly the opposite of this. It teaches the way of the law. You have to do it. You know, God may empower you, and He may equip you, and He may enable you, and He may do all kinds of things to nudge you along, but you have to do it. Morals, prayers, discipline, buildings, liturgies, sacrifices. You can take your pick. All the religions have these things. But free forgiveness, pardon, acquittal, a righteous judge who pronounces a verdict of innocent over guilty people. There's only one place you're going to hear that, and that is the Holy Christian and Apostolic Church. I got to be honest with you. I'm going to confess that there are times when I get more than just a bit depressed over the state of the church today. I think when you're on the inside, you see and hear way too much for your own spiritual health and well-being. I suspect that if Dr. Luther were around today, he'd pick up his pen and his hammer, and he'd be nailing 95 theses to church doors once again. I don't get out much on Sundays. You know, I got to work on Sundays. It's an occupational hazard, so I don't get out. But when I do, I try to go to a place where I know that I will hear Jesus Christ crucified for my sins, and I will have opportunity to be fed by His body and His blood. Sundays are too precious for me to waste on spiritual field trips. But I read and I hear the reports from the field of sermons that never once mention the name of Jesus. Not once. Let alone His atoning death, His blood, His sacrifice, His resurrection. Or hymns that speak nothing of sin and grace or the blood of Christ or His cross. Or liturgies that draw all their attention to the performers or to our own internal feelings. Anything but Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And it's at those times when I hear reports like that that I realize that there may be a place for us Lutherans in the world yet. We may be small, and we may be irrelevant to the movers and shakers of religion, but we have an important place. We are the heirs of the great Reformation tradition. The tradition that recognizes the centrality of the teaching of justification. It's that chewy nougat center at the heart of everything that we believe and teach and confess. I like to think of justification, the cross of Christ who died for all, as the hub of a bicycle wheel. You can break a spoke or two, and the wheel may wobble, but as long as the hub is in place, it's gonna spin. You may have a few doctrines, articles of doctrine, a little bit out of whack, but if you have Christ crucified for the sinner in the center, the thing's gonna turn. Christ the center, Christ the hub, justification in the middle of everything. Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. That's what the Reformation was about. Luther called his church back to the center, where Jesus is. And 488 years later, the church, so easily distracted, so prone to forget, must continually be called back to the center. The world is thirsty. The world is clamoring for strong spiritual drink, and by the grace of God, we have it. 2,000-year-old, 200-proof good news. Let's not water it down with ginger ale and ice. no Shirley Temples in this place. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, your Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, so that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or my own strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me and you by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith, just as he does for each one of you and as he does for the whole Christian church on earth. We believe that the Word of God does what it says, that baptism produces faith, even in the heart of the littlest one, that it is our new birth in Christ. It is our washing away of sin. We believe that the Lord's Supper actually is the sacrament of Christ's body and blood, so that we might eat and drink of his sacrifice and live in his death and his life. We believe that the word of forgiveness actually is God's absolution, saying to us over and over and over again, I forgive you all of your sins. We're not justified because we're Lutheran. Perish that thought. That would write off 1,500 years of Christianity. We aren't justified by the purity of our doctrinal formulae, the rigor of our hymns, the precision of our liturgies, the piety of our prayers, or all the good works that we're given to do. We hold that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. You are forgiven, you are free, you are justified. All thanks and praise and credit to Jesus, who died and rose for you. He at the center of everything. In the name of Jesus, amen.